Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, October 28th. From the Delta County Independent, Delta County Memorial Hospital's Board of Directors on Friday voted not to renew the contract for Chief Executive Officer Jason Kleckler, the board announced after a special meeting. The announcement did not indicate why the contract was not renewed. Officials said the board is confident in the quality of care the hospital and 10 related clinics provide and will continue to provide as the search begins for a new CEO. The board is establishing a committee to head up the search for Kleckler's replacement. That committee will establish selection procedures and the time frame for appointing a new hire. Kleckler began work at Delta County Memorial Hospital about 11 years ago and took the helm as CEO in 2012. Last year and again this year, the National Rural Health Association named Kleckler as a top 50 rural hospital CEO to know. And in a recap of high school football games last weekend as local schools prepare for the end of the regular season, the Montrose Indians, ranked number 3 in the state in the 4A classification, found themselves in unfamiliar territory before rallying on the road to beat Gateway 50-36 on Saturday. The Indians remained unbeaten on the year at 8-0. Montrose went into halftime at Gateway, down 21-14, but a second-half comeback helped Montrose seize the victory. The game started off well for Montrose. The Indians' first score came after quarterback Keegan Goodwin passed to Riley Barnhill for a 20-yard touchdown. Then, after a Gateway fumble, the Indians marched down the field with Ethan Hartman scoring on a 2-yard run. After that, however, Gateway scored the next 21 points to take its halftime lead. Barnhill scored again for Montrose in the third quarter, tying the score. After recovering an onside kick, Emmert Kastendike got the lead back for Montrose with a 47-yard touchdown run. After Gateway answered to tie the score at 28, Cole Simmons scored on a short run for Montrose to put the Indians ahead 35-28. Simmons would score twice more before the day was done to secure the win for Montrose. Up next for the Indians is a critical home game, Friday night at 7 p.m. in Montrose against Ponderosa. In 1A Western Slope League action, Meeker and Hotchkiss set up a winner-take-all game this week after both squads won last Friday. Meeker beat Olathe, and Hotchkiss cruised to a win in Cedar Edge. Both the Cowboys and Bruins are 7-1 overall and unbeaten in league play. The winner of their game Friday night will be the league champion. With both teams in the top 10, it is likely both will advance to the 1A state playoffs, regardless of who wins the league. And in 2A play, Delta continued to win as the Panthers moved toward the postseason. Delta beat Moffitt County 52-0 at home last weekend and moved to 7-1. The Panthers are ranked 4th in 2A and have one game left in the regular season at Cole Ridge this weekend. And this is from the Delta County Independent. County Administrator Robbie LaValle submitted the draft budget message to county commissioners on October 15th and reported that Delta County is seeing an increase in sales tax revenues and population. According to the 2020 budget message LaValle submitted to commissioners, the draft budget reflects $28.8 million in revenues and a projected $28.8 million in expenditures. Major accomplishments in the 2020 draft budget include an increase in 2019 sales tax of approximately 8.65% compared to the 5-year rolling average, an improving local economy, a rebound in county population to a 2018 U.S. Census estimation of 30,953, continued funding for economic development in key areas that will result in long-term benefit for the county, a 2% cost of living adjustment for all county employees, and continued coverage by the county of the entire cost of employee insurance. the addition of full-time employees to address specific needs and priorities, and projected additional remodel of the Human Services Building with the use of reserve funds. Delta County Commissioners will hold a public hearing on the budget on November 25th. And here today on Monday, we have a Halloween story for you, of sorts. Jamie Sudler and Franny Halpern from H2O Radio have this tale about an invasive species that has more in common with monsters than fish.
Just in time for Halloween, we have a story about the northern snakehead, the largest fish to walk on land. Seemingly the stuff of nightmares, the fish have sharp teeth, can survive out of water for up to 4 days, and authorities in many southern states want them killed on sight.
But luckily, humans can easily outrun a snakehead, and they won't hurt children or pets. However, the damage to ecosystems could be devastating.
The snakeheads have been discovered in 14 states, destroying food webs as they eat native species of fish, frogs, and even small mammals like mice. Originally from Asia, the northern snakehead looks similar to a bowfin and was first found in the United States in 2002.
So what's driving the snakehead onto land? A new study from Wake Forest researcher Noah Bresman says certain water conditions make the fish take a walk.
Bresman studied snakehead populations in Maryland, where the creature is a threat to the Chesapeake Bay watershed. The fish, which can grow up to 3 feet long and weigh up to 18 pounds, were subjected to a range of poor water conditions, from high temperatures, pollution, to low light.
Turns out that high salinity, acidity, and too much carbon dioxide force the fish to crawl out of the water. Bressman said that's information that could help natural resource agencies contain the snakehead.
In case you're wondering how they move on land, Bressman observed that the fish make rowing movements with their pectoral and lower fins.
The reason the snakeheads were brought to this country from China is because they are tasty and very nutritious. So one way to address the invasion might be with a fork and knife.
And finally today, from the Denver Post, early snowfall around the state is setting up for an active ski season. Eldora will open on November 1st, 2 weeks ahead of its previously scheduled November 15th open. This is the ski area's earliest first day in 22 years and is 3 weeks ahead of its average. The announcement came Thursday afternoon, the same day that the mountain saw 15 inches of snowfall. Also on Thursday, Wolf Creek announced that it would be opening on October 31st, 1 day earlier than planned. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, October 28th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.